coming up in about 15 minutes as we welcome you into hour number two of the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, live from the Oxygen Studios. Brock Huard, our good buddy from Seattle, 710 ESPN, college football analyst. We'll kind of get probably his final pre-draft thoughts. I don't think we'll have him back on the show in the next 3 weeks or so. I hope we do. I'd love having Brock on, but
unless
in case
Russell
we don't.
Russell Wilson signs a contract extension.
Unless
big
Russell
story
Wilson.
In Seattle right now. He's giving him a deadline. Russell Wilson. Hey, April 15th.
April 15th. Yep.
I need my extension by April 15th, or we're not doing a new deal. He's got 1 year left on his current 4-year, $87.6 million contract.
So we'll talk with Brock about that, too. So that's coming up. We'll continue to talk about the draft and the quarterbacks and Kyler Murray and the Cardinals and things like that. One thing I've learned from Gambo and all the years that I've worked with them is that seemingly random things are not necessarily all that random. Somewhere along the line, you make some random suggestion on the air. It might sound random to the person listening, but chances are somebody kind of planted a little seed with you, right?
And you
don't report it. You don't say this is going to happen or my sources are telling me this. You just kind of throw it out there.
Jordan Hicks.
Because somewhere along the line, just somebody planted kind of a seed with you and you just kind of throw it out there as a suggestion, right? You've done that in the past.
A lot of times I'm able to report it. I have it. I'm going with it. Boom. Jimmer Fredette, you know, whatever. Like, I have it. We go. Sometimes I have it, but I can't really go with it. So in those instances, I'll suggest, I'll hint, I'll do what I can.
You'll bring it up in kind of natural conversation and we'll talk about it a little bit, but you won't.
You'll know that, you know, but I can't, like, fully, because I'm not 100% certain.
Of course.
More 90% certain. So that happens.
And I'm not trying to out you on this one. I am trying to do.
I don't know where you're going here. But
when Chris Mortensen tweeted out this morning, one team that has somewhat been forgotten in the Josh Rosen talk, should the Cardinals select Kyler Murray, is the Washington Redskins, who are doing genuine due diligence on top rookie quarterbacks despite acquiring Case Keenum. Now, Chris Mortensen is a professional story breaker, and he knows what he's doing when it comes to breaking the stories. I gotta believe somewhere along the line planted that seed with Chris Mortensen.
About Washington.
Because that, to me, yes.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, is...
And that's what you do. Read it to me again.
Okay. One team that has been somewhat forgotten in the Josh Rosen talk, should the Cardinals select Kyler Murray, is the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
Who are doing genuine due diligence on top rookie quarterbacks despite acquiring Case Keenum.
That's how you do it. If you're somebody like what I do, what he does, you bring it up. Now, a couple weeks from now, if he gets traded to the Washington Redskins, you're kind of like, I kind of hinted at that, and that was going to happen. I kind of hinted
at it. Kind of had a feeling. There were some rumblings. You know, that's a word that professional story breakers like to use a lot. There were rumblings that this could happen, that there are some talks going on. And so when I read that, my first reaction was, okay, Redskins, 15th pick overall in the draft. I think they've got like the 44th pick in the second round. You immediately start calculating what you could get from the Redskins if indeed that's where Josh Rosen is going to go. And then the second thing I thought of, and again, this is just the benefit of my near 9 years with you on the air, is sort of that professional story breakers, when they suggest something like that,
aren't suggesting.
They're not suggesting.
No, we're not.
They've got something, not everything, not enough to report it as fact, but enough to suggest it as a possibility to just kind of plant that seed in people's minds that it could happen.
Yeah, you remember when we did the five, you know, here's the five linebackers that the Cardinals could look at.
Yes.
And then we narrowed it down to two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Narrowed it down to two. It's either going to be this guy or that guy. But you know what makes the most sense is Jordan Hicks. And this is the weekend before, like 3 or 4 days beforehand. Here's five guys that they really like. And now let's just narrow it down to two. And here's the two. And Jordan Hicks is one of those guys. And he'd make the most sense. And here's why. And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, Cardinals just signed Jordan Hicks. Okay? That is hints, suggestions, without coming right out and saying they're going to sign Jordan Hicks.
Because you don't have enough to come right out and say it. You know, at some point.
I have
point,
a lot.
Yeah, you have a lot, but just not enough to be able to say, I am reporting this. This is going to happen. And again, the only
like, there are times you know who a team likes.
Sure.
You know what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a matter of can they do it.
Yeah.
Hey, and Mortensen may know that the Redskins like Josh Rosen. And it feels that like, hey, they man, they like Josh Rosen, and they'd like to try to get, but he doesn't know if they can get him.
Right.
But that's what he may know, is that they do like him.
The Washington Redskins have the 15th overall pick. They have the 46th overall pick, if you're looking at possible inventory for a Josh Rosen trade. And no matter where he got it from, assuming he got it from someone, maybe he got it from no one and he was just looking at the draft order and speculating. But I tell you what, news of the Redskins potentially being interested in Rosen, or at least the suggestion that they should not be dismissed from the Rosen speculation, is a great thing for the Arizona Cardinals if, and only if, they're trying to stir up the market for Josh Rosen. Because it could be that the market had grown, and I'm just suggesting this here, and not suggest because I'm not a professional story breaker, that's your job on the show. But just from an observing standpoint, if the market has gotten kind of stagnant, right, with the Giants and the Patriots and the Chargers, and you're not quite sure, what better way to take a big old spoon and stir up the marketplace than a little bit?
Throw in the Redskins.
Then a Chris Mortensen tweet about how you shouldn't dismiss Washington as a potential suitor in a Josh Rosen trade, right? Because now, if the marketplace had grown kind of stale, you just injected a little fresh blood into it by suggesting, hey, Washington, 15, maybe they get involved in all this. It's a great thing for the Cardinals' leverage.
I mean, and it, Washington also has number 46 overall, which to me would make a lot more sense than them giving up 15 if they are interested. And everybody knows, listen, we've gone through this, and there's a lot of this. Now, the Rosen thing is fascinating. April 8th, is he going to show up for the voluntary workouts or not? We all got our eye on that. I believe he'll show up. I can't say with certainty. I think he'd be foolish not to. But, I mean, you look around the league today, at the center of the Giants trade speculation, Josh Rosen. I mean, there's the stories. Rosen rumor tracker, Giants at the center of speculation. Speculation continues that the Cardinals will draft Kyler Murray and trade Josh Rosen. The Giants are considered a likely suitor. And then you've got this Redskin story. So it's out there every day. Every single day it's out there that Rosen could be the guy that's available if the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray. He's obviously going to be available. I don't see a scenario, and you don't either, in which they keep two quarterbacks. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
I just don't see that happening.
I find anybody who suggests that, I can't imagine why they'd want to go into training camp with both guys on the roster.
No, your value for Rosen is higher now than it would be if he was the backup to Kyler Murray all next year, and then a year later, because you've wasted a year where a guy gets a quarterback for $2 million. The benefit, that one of the things people really like about Rosen is he doesn't cost any money.
Yeah.
He's $2 million a year for the next 3 years.
What I did find interesting too, and you referenced this a second ago, not only was that that Mortensen tweet, but within 15 minutes after that Mortensen tweet, there was a report on NJ.com, which I think is the Newark newspaper's
website.
Yeah, NJ.com. They turned around a story on Mortensen's tweet like that. I mean, like that. So now you've got people in New York talking about how Washington might be interested. That could potentially apply a little bit of pressure to the New York Giants, maybe to up their level of interest on Josh Rosen. Again, if Rosen's even available, we don't know if he is or not. But if you're trying to create a marketplace, even the suggestion that Washington might be a potential suitor, it does wonders for it. They're in New York, they're already talking about whether Washington could get involved. Now, you start talking about potentially a bidding war between two division rivals that hate each other's guts. Suddenly, it takes on a whole other level. Right? Hey, we better get them before they get them if we want them.
Sure, two NFC East rivals, Giants, Redskins. Yep.
It just adds to the leverage. It adds to the drama. It just gives you potential options.
Well, that's when I saw that the Giants would be willing to give Eli a contract extension. Was that to drive the price down on Rosen? Like, you'd think of all these things. Like, contract extension for Eli Manning. I'm trying to get rid of my Eli Manning.
Yeah.
And, it's not Eli's fault. It's not Eli's fault that they're bad. It's like, and then there was, like, the discussion the other day, could the Giants extend Eli Manning? Like, is that just to try to drive down the price for Josh Rosen?
It's a good idea. I wondered the same thing with that.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't need Rosen that bad. We're thinking about extending Eli. But, you know what, if you take our second-round pick from because everybody would like to, if anybody is going to trade for Rosen, they'd like to do it without giving up their first-round pick.
No doubt.
They'd like to. Now, whether they can or not, I don't know. It depends on how many suitors there are.
Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen. Which quarterback makes the Cardinals the more dangerous team? We're going to ask somebody with knowledge of this division next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
D-backs Ticket Window Tuesday opens.
Back she goes, and it is gone!
Now.
I'm going to take this one. Do you mind?
Merrill Kelly's number?
No.
What do you got?
In honor of our guest, caller number 7 at 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. Caller number 7 on this all-day Ticket Window Tuesday brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union. You'll get 2 tickets. Go see the D-backs home opener against the Boston Red Sox on Friday. You'll get a copy of MLB The Show on PS4. You're not a winner. Listen every hour today for your next chance to win, including an hour from now on the Burns and Gambo Show. Brock Huard is our guest from 710 ESPN in Seattle, our good friend up there. And the number he wore when he was with the University of Washington Huskies was number 7. So in honor of Brock Huard, caller number 7 wins the tickets. How is that for being hospitable to our guests, right? I mean, we are...
Man, that is just... That's class.
Open
that's,
arms.
That's pure class. I can't thank you enough for that. What a special honor. I will say I was in town last week. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
Well, you didn't call us, so how could we have known if you don't give us a call? I mean, thanks a lot, Brock.
Well, we appreciate you dropping us a line. I know you guys are so plugged into the AAF, and it turns out I buried the league. I did one broadcast.
Oh, man.
I did Saturday's game. I did it out of the studio there from Phoenix, and I completely shut down the league. How about that?
Can we stop with these leagues trying to play like football? Can we just stop? It doesn't work.
You know what, the football, I don't know if I'm going to say agree with you, Gamble. I didn't think the football was that bad. In fact, I thought the guys played really hard, but good luck, man. Good luck. All the other sports leagues, ask them how it goes competing against the NFL.
Man,
that's baseball and basketball and everyone. What it's like to try to match wits with that monster right now in the sports world and to play the same sport and think you're going to get some of their guys and take that kind of gamble before you have that written in stone, that's a risk I would have never taken.
Let's talk about this Russell Wilson thing first. We'll get your Seattle inside knowledge. April 15th deadline by Russell Wilson. You buying that?
I'm buying Mark Rogers putting that out there, sure. Yeah, his agent representation. Baseball guys, baseball agents, you know this. Gambo, you talk to them, they're deadline guys. They want the deal done. The deals usually don't get done until a deadline is in the football. You know, it's either kind of manufactured like it is in this case with the start of OTAs or like it was the last time around before they began training camp. That's what he wanted 4 years ago on his last deal. He needed the money then. You know, he had gone through a divorce. He was a third round pick. He hadn't gotten paid. He needed his money. That deal was going to get done. I think this one is a little bit of a leverage game, and Mark Rogers, Russell's agent, trying to act and show that, you know, they've got some pull in this, trying to create some sort of leverage. I don't expect the team to necessarily budge, but hopefully it escalates the conversation between the two sides.
Yeah, as the story goes, he's got 1 year left on the deal that he's got. He's setting April 15th as the deadline for wanting a new deal, but you don't – I mean, you know the Seahawks' history in these contract matters, and it's often been sticky for the last 7-8 years with some of the guys who have gone through there. You know them perhaps better than anybody. Do they budge on this? Is this the kind of thing that they react or respond to up there?
This is all about the numbers. You know, we had Schneider on our show yesterday. We talked to him a little bit after the show as well, off the air. And he's the general manager, John Schneider. And Mike Salk asked him point blank, can you sign Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, whose deal's also up after this season, and Frank Clark, who right now is under the franchise tag, can you sign those guys to market value deals, you know, to top of the market value? And his answer was, yeah. Now, that will come at a sacrifice. It's a shell game. You got to move dollars and cents around. But he felt like, yes, you could. So I think if sides are reasonable and if Russell's reasonable and realizes, well, this year I'm making 27 on a franchise. Next year I'm making 30. The franchise the following year after that, it's about 36. So there's the beginning three numbers of a contract. And how much do you want it to escalate? How long term do you want it to go? You know, the fourth year would become prohibitive. The third year of a franchise, it would escalate well over $50 million. So I think it just becomes reasonable. In talking to someone in Russell's camp, you know, they said he will be reasonable, that he knows what market value is. He knows that it starts at that 33. That's what those numbers come out to anyway, if you add them all up and divide them. And he wants the deal done. He wants it over. He wants to end all of the shenanigans with all the conversation, every question at every press conference that will follow through the OTAs and mini camp and in the training camp. He wants to end it, and we'll see whether or not the Seahawks have the same appetite to do so.
Brock,
I will say this, though. I'm sorry, Burns. Yeah, I will say I know the Seahawks are talking, and they too would like to get a deal done because they don't like a lot of this stuff in the public sector either.
Brock Huard from 710 ESPN in Seattle, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. As a guy who has covered Seattle Seahawks football, and we've talked Seattle Seahawks football with you for many years, from your perspective, who is the quarterback that you would, I hate to use the word fear, because I know you don't fear them, but that you would give the Cardinals the best chance to be good the soonest, Josh Rosen or Kyler Murray?
Yeah, that's not even a question to me. It's Kyler Murray, and I said that to you guys last time, 2 weeks ago. I listened to you, and by the way, you guys have a phenomenal show, as I was on the 101 last week and listened to you guys for a long time, And you guys had a cool study. I think it was about Sam Darnold, how he was going to be the number one pick a month before the draft, an SI article, and how everybody said that and they were wrong.
Right.
I think in this case, again, everybody I talked to, and certainly everyone around the Seahawks, thinks they're going to be competing against a tremendous winner. I think that is what Steve Keim has got to look at in this evaluation. This guy elevates people. There were enough question marks with Sam Darnold last year, and then ultimately Cleveland came to their senses and said, you know what Baker Mayfield does? Elevates everybody around him. When I said and was hard on Josh Rosen with you guys and everybody last year, what was my number one complaint? The guy doesn't elevate people around him. And this kid does. He did it all through high school. He's one of the greatest winners in high school football history, certainly in the state of Texas. He did it at Oklahoma and took a horrible defensive football team, and I mean horrible, took him all the way to a national semifinal on his shoulders. And I still firmly believe that winner will be the guy the Seahawks are competing with next fall.
Well, the one thing I do know is that there is a gigantic separation between, you know, from the Cardinals' perspective, from Kyler Murray and any other quarterback in this draft. Haskins, Locke, Jones. There is a big difference between the first guy and then the second guy. The second, third, and fourth, they're bunched up together. But the first guy is, it's a big difference. And you know, it's not a matter of what you could get for Rosen. If you believe in, and we've been talking about this too, if you believe in Kyler Murray, there is no price. Usually we say there's a price for everything. You know, I can make you an offer on your beautiful cabin that you have, and you'd sell it to me if I made you the right offer. There may not be an offer that could get Kyler Murray, the Cardinals not to take Kyler Murray. If they're sold that this guy is a legitimate franchise quarterback, they're not going to take any offer from any other team.
Well, speaking of offers and deals, I don't know if you guys in your home are like my home, but you get these Amazon boxes that just come to your front door. Like, wow, how did that Amazon deal come up?
It's called a wife. It's called a wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's called Amazon's an amazing business, and I've got lots of friends that work there here in the Seattle area. They're headquartered up here, and one of their major tenants, and you'll hear it from their CEO and owner on down, is fail fast. Fail fast. They take tremendous risk. They have failed in different ventures. They have failed with different devices. But whatever you do, you better fail fast. The Seahawks are likewise. I attribute going to give them a ton of success. Percy Harvin was a disaster. You know what? They gave him a first-round pick. They paid him a lot of money. Didn't work. You know, he didn't want to play. He quit on them. So they fired him. Matt Flynn, they gave $10 million to. Oh, my gosh. We're going to look like idiots. We gave him a lot of money. We got to make sure he plays. But this Russell kid's better.
Jimmy Graham.
Okay, well, fail fast. We made the wrong decision. You made the wrong decision on Rosen. And you know what? What's going to be the best thing to do to remedy it? Fail fast and get the guy that is a winner and elevates people around him.
Brock, let me sneak this last one in because we're up against it. You know how that goes. But if they move Rosen, in your mind, what do you think they could get for him? Second rounder, first rounder, third rounder? What is it in your mind?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think it's probably a third rounder is pretty reasonable because everybody knows you're going to trade him. You know, I think most folks in the NFL circles think you're going to take Kyler Murray. So I think that probably diminishes it. And ultimately, we'll see what the Giants or New England or one of those clubs is willing to do to out-duel another one. But for a third rounder in this deep draft, I think you got to make that move.
All right. Brock, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for stopping by for a few minutes. And thank you for listening to the show when you're in town. We appreciate that.
On the 101.
Keep up the great work, boys.
All right, Brock. Thanks, buddy. Brock Huard from 710 ESPN. On the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. It came about 75 games too late, but last night we got a little taste of how successful Point Book can be. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. John. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Devin Booker said, yeah, that was fun last night.
We had fun tonight. We played together. Everybody was involved. We had some big runs. We fell apart at times, but we stuck together and you know, came together when we needed each other the most.
25 points, 13 assists. He was one assist shy of setting a career high in that number, in that category. He set that earlier this year in that triple overtime game against the Washington Wizards. Booker made it a point to get everybody set up, and thank goodness, guys on his team, and this was a problem a couple of nights ago, right? He had plenty of he would have had plenty of assists had his guys made shots. They didn't make shots in the fourth quarter. Last night, his guys were making shots. They were helping him out, and Booker looked like Point Book, like the facilitator out there.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic last night. I mean, 13 assists. Then he had 11 the game before against Memphis. 24 in the last two games. I almost get the feeling that, you know, that, listen, when your team is bad, you do look at individual numbers. He's got 6.9 assists per game. Man, if he could average 10 over these last few games, can that get him to 7? I mean, that's a nice number, right? That's a nice round number. And he's got 26.9 points per game and 6.9 assists. Man, if he could just, like, it's not going to take a whole lot, but if he could get, you know, if he could average 10 assists a game and facilitate a lot, he might be able to get that assist number up to 7. That's pretty good. I mean, that's a nice number. 7 assists per game for a guy that's not a point guard.
Yeah, no, it would be a very good look for
him. I wonder if that's something that's driving him, motivating him. You know, why he's facilitating a lot more. And then sometimes you need to, you know, when you've carried the load for as long as he has, sometimes it's nice you know, to be the facilitator, to not have to be if other guys are scoring, you're like, all right, man, I'll take the night off and let you guys score. Jamal Crawford was scoring. Mikhail Bridges, man, there were a couple of 4-point plays. They were knocking guys down on 3-pointers last night. Mikhail got knocked down on one. I think Troy got knocked down, but guys were hitting shots and they were getting to the basket. So I think from that perspective, I think Booker was enjoying that. Booker was enjoying the night off of not having to go for 40 or 50 to keep his team in the game.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The Suns shot 50. I mean, they shot unbelievable, 55% from the floor. They had 28 assists, only 13 turnovers. That is a horrific Cleveland Cavaliers team they played last night.
Oh my God.
They're so bad.
The kid Osman was 1-for-12 from the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got, Sexton looks like he's talented, but he shoots the ball so much. It was nice to see Channing Frye get into the game and, you know, knock down a 3-pointer. I was happy for him because I had a nice little video tribute for him and he was waving to the fans. And
he was a good son.
I was literally sitting like 5 feet away from where Channing Frye was. So, he was a good son. It was nice to see them have like a video tribute to him at the game last night. But overall, I mean, listen, the Suns, they played a really bad team and they won, so good for them. But there were a lot of, you know, Holmes played well, Bender played well, Bridges played well, you know, Booker, I mean, Josh Jackson was terrific, Jamal Crawford was fantastic, and even in his 6 minutes that he played, Jimmer Fredette had a couple of shots.
Jimmer Fredette was, what, a +9, I think, when it was all said and done. I'm going to continue to say this. I don't know how you're supposed to evaluate him for a potential spot on his team if he's only going to get six minutes. I really don't know.
They put him in. He scored on a drive, and then he hit his jump shot, and then he got fouled, and he hit two free throws. And then he came out of the game, and I was like, all right, he'll probably get a decent amount in the second half. He didn't get any action in the second half.
It's almost...
I mean, I was there. I mean, he didn't get any action. They didn't put him back in the game, and I was a little surprised at that. It's like, yeah, like...
are you supposed to judge? What are you supposed to make a decision about Jimmer Fredette on? And it makes me wonder if there was never really a decision to make about Jimmer Fredette. They signed him because they needed a body. Yeah, he's got that contract next year, but it's a team option, so they can blow it out if they want. It's no big deal. I wonder if there was never any real long-term plan for Jimmer Fredette, that it was just about getting him in for the end of this year so they could have a body to have him out there. Otherwise, shouldn't you be playing him more in these games? Shouldn't you be giving him some really good, legit looks down the stretch to see if he's got a role?
15 minutes a game, you would think?
You would think.
I mean, you know, Troy Daniels got 25 off the bench. Jamal Crawford got 30 off the bench. Jimmer Fredette got 6 off the bench.
Yeah.
He's not getting any minutes.
To me, other than Point Book, I thought the story of last night's game, and it is amazing when Josh Jackson plays under control. Right? When he's not jacking up way too many shots, when he's playing in the flow of the offense, when he's not looking for his every single possession, The Josh Jackson we saw last night, that's a guy I have no problem being a part of the future of the Phoenix Suns.
He's blocking shots. He's active on the defensive end.
Yep.
Very active on the defensive end, which leads to transition baskets. And, yeah, I mean, he was scoring. He didn't shoot the ball 18 times. He shot at 11. He made his shots. He made his free throws. He rebounded the basketball, blocked shots. I mean, he was good. Like, that was a really good game for Josh Jackson. They got a surplus of wings. And if you bring Oubre back, and you still have T.J. Warren, you got Mikal Bridges,
Warren, yeah.
and then you got Josh Jackson. They want to add a power forward. They do want to add a power forward. Tobias Harris's name is one I think that they like, although I think it's going to be very hard to get him. I can't imagine Philly letting him go. They might even max him out. But they want to add a power forward, and they want to add a point guard. And, you know, maybe you'll have to get rid of one or two of these wing players because they got so many of them.
In the upside down standings, if you will, New York still has the worst record in the league at 15-62. The Suns are 2.5 back of that at 18-60 with the second worst record. Cleveland, the third worst record. Only a game separates those two after last night's Suns win. And Chicago is at 21-57. So they're basically three back of where the Phoenix Suns are right now. The Suns would appear to be a lock for one of the three worst records. If you fall down to number three in this now, where you fall potentially in the draft could be lower than what you'd want. I know you saw a mock draft today that suggested Zion Williamson to the Knicks at one, John Morant to the Suns at two.
Lottery odds, 14% and 52% for a top four pick for the Knicks. The Suns would be 14% for number one, 52% for a top four pick. So they are set to pick in the top four for the fourth straight year, set to pick in the top four. Look, if you got Ja Morant there, and we've discussed this, I mean, I think you could be happy with Ja Morant. I do think you want to get a veteran point guard so you don't put all the pressure on a rookie point guard to have to run a team that's trying to win with Devin Booker now. I'd also look at every trade possibility. The one no-brainer is Zion. Like, he is, anybody saying he's not, that they should consider Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett. Somebody was saying R.J. Barrett's going to be better than Zion. Zion Williamson is a freak. He's the best player in this draft. It's a one-person draft as far as that's concerned. I mean, a superstar player. Zion's going to be that. Ja Morant might be really good, and if you could get him at number two, yeah, I think Suns fans would be very excited because you've got a point guard that could be the point guard of your future.
If the Suns finish with the second worst record, they can potentially fall as far as the sixth pick. There's actually a 20% chance they end up with the sixth pick in the draft. If they end up with the third worst record, there's actually a 7% chance they drop all the way down to number seven.
Ooh.
So these,
that's the scary part with this thing, isn't it?
If you finish with the third worst record, there is a 33% chance.
You're
so a one out of three chance you're picking sixth or seventh.
Yeah, and what about two? What's the odds that you're picking fifth or sixth if you're the second?
47.9, basically 48%.
So basically 50% chance that you're picking fifth or sixth.
Fifth or sixth if you finish with the second worst record.
50% chance that people are, that'll be a miserable day. As happy as you were on draft, the draft lottery last year,
it will be
you're
going to
be
day.
Just as miserable if you can't get Zion, Ja Morant, or R.J. Barrett. You'll be just as miserable if you don't get it, if you can't get one of those three guys.
The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock with the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft. You could be there to see it in person. Text the word clock to 62620 for your chance to win a trip for two to Nashville for the Cardinals on the clock ultimate draft experience, and it's courtesy of Cherish. Cherish all-natural 100% cherry juice. Not only did he make his MLB debut last night, his performance came at a time when his team needed it the most. D-backs pitcher John Duplantier joins us next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Diamondbacks and the Padres coming up tonight. Zach Greinke, Eric Lauer, the matchup. Lauer's a lefty, so I would imagine we'd see more of Christian Walker tonight, and we'll react to this in a little bit, but Torrey Lovello did.
We want more. We want more. We want more Christian Walker.
Say to us earlier today, keep hitting, and I'll give you more Christian Walker. Keep doing what you're doing, and I'll give you all the Christian Walker you want. I mean, he's forcing his way into the lineup, and if that's what he's going to do, that's how it's going to be. He had another double last night. He had a couple more hits last night. Everybody for the Diamondbacks hit last night. Every single position player got at least one hit in last night's game. Every single one. Ketel Marte, three hits. David Peralta had three hits. Your boy Alex Avila.
Carson Kelly didn't get a hit, right?
Carson Kelly didn't catch. Merrill Kelly didn't get a hit.
Merrill Kelly.
Alex Avila was the catcher last night. Right. Yeah, Carson Kelly was not in the lineup last night. Diamondbacks pound out 15 hits in last night's game. They're averaging 6.5 runs per game so far.
Offense has looked great. Adam Jones has been fantastic. Walker has been, you know, really good for them. Yeah, I mean, they've been able to score some runs. And last night, they gave Merrill Kelly an early lead. Gave him a big lead. He was able to calm down and relax. He said he was very nervous before the game. Said, you know, admit I was very nervous. You know, first major league start, and he went out there and pitched the gem. And Duplantier came in, and they had just called him up for depth in the pen. And he goes out there and he throws, you know, three terrific innings.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, there was a lot of speculation about Duplantier this time a year ago. Not at the trade deadline. It wasn't this time a year ago.
Because it was Machado. There was a lot of, should they get Machado? And what would they have to give up to get him? Now, we didn't think they'd have a package that could get him, but we did know that, you know, that Duplantier was not a guy that was available. They were not going to make him available under any circumstance. They weren't going to trade him for a rental player.
Yeah, no, and it didn't happen. And then last night he makes his debut, presumably at this point, just out of the bullpen. I know they still probably view him long-term as a starter at some point in their rotation, but I think the one thing about Duplantier that I was thinking of last night when I watched the game, he's sort of... Look, most of the top prospects in the Diamondback system are kids, young kids who are still a couple years away from being Major League Baseball players, if at all, right? You're talking about the top prospects in the system. Duplantier is more of a now guy, a ready now guy.
The top prospects are, you know, you're looking at kids that are 19 years old, like Christian Robinson. He's 18. You're looking at Jazz Chisholm. The shortstop, who's 21 years old, or Dalton Varshaw, who's 22 years old, Andy Yerzy, 20 years old, Alec Thomas, 18 years old. You're right, Duplantier is one of those few top prospects that's 24 years old, and he's pitched in Double-A, so he's more ready right now. So that's why they were able to bring him up, and because he's ready to pitch now.
According to Zach Buchanan over at The Athletic, he is the first drafted and developed top 100 prospect to hit the majors for the Diamondbacks since 2016.
Oh, since 2016.
Since 2016. And joining us right now in the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, fresh off his major league debut last night, John Duplantier here on the Burns and Gambo Show. John, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Congrats on last night. Has it settled in yet?
Thank you. Yeah, I think so. It's been a crazy 48 hours for me.
Did you expect to be called up to the majors this soon? You couldn't have, right?
No, sir. No. I mean, I was very prepared. I just got out to Reno. I had my first start date and everything. And so my mom already, we already bought flights to Reno, and we expected to take that path.
I read the story about how you broke down when you made the phone call and you got a chance to talk to your mom. You weren't expecting to break down, but you did. Tell me about that. Tell me when you found out that you were getting the call up to the major leagues and you called home, what was that like for you?
You know, when the D-backs called me, I was in the hotel lobby in Reno of a casino, so there's hundreds of people around, and I probably spent 3 or 4 minutes just crying by myself in the lobby and all these people just wondering what the heck was going on. Did I just lose all my money, and so tried to call my dad. He didn't answer the phone, so it kind of gave me time to really think, okay, what needs to happen now? Okay, dad didn't answer, call mom. Mom might have her phone on her. So I kind of was able to take a deep breath, and I thought I was just going to call her and say, hey, mom, go grab dad. I got some news. But, you know, when I heard my mom's voice, all the emotions that I thought I kind of had already taken care of, they came back tenfold. And so I scared the mess out of my parents because I was yelling and hyperventilating. And I mean, you could hear the tears through the phone. And she was like, John, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And I was just like, get dad. It's good. I promise it's good. Get dad. And put him on speaker. So I finally told him the news. I told him his son was going to be a big leaguer, and it was just nothing but screaming and jumping. I mean, I could feel them jumping. Wow. So it was amazing. I'll never forget that.
So happy for you. Did it bring back a lot of memories of being a young kid playing little league baseball, club baseball, and just having your mom and dad driving you around, getting you equipment, getting you new gloves, new cleats? I mean, did that go through your mind as you were waiting to talk to your parents?
It was something like that. So I just had so many different quick flashes of things, you know. I remembered when we moved overseas, when I was in the fifth grade, the team I was playing on, which was pretty much all of my childhood best friends growing up, they gave me a Rawlings glove. And I remember them giving me that glove. And I remember we were at this tournament when I was, I don't know, probably 11, and it was freezing and none of the parents wanted to watch, but they were still there with us, you know. And just memories like that, all the memories, I mean, most of them from time probably I was 12 to 15. And then obviously kind of just fast forwarding college, grinding it out with those guys and going to class and summer ball. I mean, yeah, it was a lot of those memories, just seeing how this has happened and who had a hand in it.
John Duplantier from the Arizona Diamondbacks, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. He made his major league debut last night. He got the 3-inning save in last night's game. Saw the video that the organization tweeted out last night. It looked like you guys had plenty of fun in the clubhouse after the game. Did somebody actually pour mouthwash on you? That's what it looked like in the shower. It looked like somebody. Yeah, you got mouthwash poured on you, correct?
Yeah. And what I realized is they don't tell you what they're going to pour on you. So all you feel, I mean, you just feel cold. And then as it's going, you're trying to guess what it is. And it wasn't until mouthwash got into my mouth that I realized that I was getting a nice little bacterial cleanse. I'm just happy that that was what got in my mouth, you know.
Could have been worse.
Could have been worse, that's for sure.
That's
for sure.
How many family members were able to get out in that short amount of time to watch you play?
So my parents are out here. My brother and sister wanted to be here, but they had school on Monday, school and work. So my parents were the only ones that could get out here in such a short time frame. And then had a couple other people who were able to make it out. That've been a big part of this journey for me. My best friend was like, hey, one of my best friends was like, hey, I can get there Tuesday. I can fly out Tuesday morning. So if you don't throw Monday, I'm going to be there for Tuesday. But I end up throwing. So he's just going to come out here and check out a game, and we're just going to hang out. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, well, it was fun. We enjoyed it. I don't know how long it's going to last this time around, but I'm sure you'll definitely be back at some point. But it was much needed right now with the state of this bullpen. So congratulations on your save last night, your appearance, the family, all of that stuff. It was really a lot of fun to watch. And congratulations again on your debut. Thanks for joining us for a few. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, John.
John Duplantier joining us on the Colter Automotive Group Sportsline Colter
Mouthwash
Cadillac.
Forever.
Buick. GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti.
Forever. What do you remember about your first major league game? Mouthwash. I remember mouthwash being dumped all over me.
Somebody poured mouthwash on me, in addition to other things as well.
Listerine, Scope, it was everything.
When we come back on the break, exactly what type of mouthwash it was, we'll try to find that out a little bit later. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, just how hot are the Oakland Raiders on Kyler Murray? We'll update that very interesting story next on the Burns and Gambo Show.